The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week for the first time is the new State Assembly Minority Leader, William Barclay. Leader Barclay represents the 120th Assembly District in Central New York. Leader Barclay, good to have you with us. I'm so delighted that you're here. I know you've been a WAMC listener for a long time.
I have. It's an honor to be here. I've listened to your show a lot, so to be on your show is really a great honor.
So you're the new guy on the block. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm from Central New York. I've been in the Assembly for 18 years.
Whoa.
Believe it or not, long time, actually. We're just talking about how much change there's been over the last 6 or 7 years. But, with the Senate, obviously, and in our conference, I went from being the young guy. I was elected when I was 32. And now I'm one of the older guys, probably as long as longevity, probably been there, fourth or fifth in the conference.
Well, 18 years is a long time. Now, what keeps you from being dispirited? I don't want to start up with you, but you know what has been said about being a Republican in the Assembly, where there's so many Democrats, is equal to the power of warm spit. Is that true?
Well, I must have a high tolerance for frustration. I don't think so. I mean, again, we're 42 members out of a 150-member body. There's no doubt we're in the minority. But just because we don't have as many, we're not in the majority, doesn't mean we don't have a loud voice. And there is a lot of issues I think we've been successful in advocating. I can think of this personally for myself. So Oswego County is what I represent. I have 3 nuclear power plants in my district. One was going to close a couple years ago, but working in a bipartisan manner, we're able to keep that plant open. So I can point to direct things that I have accomplished personally, even being a Republican in the Assembly. But I think for the conference level, obviously to get statewide legislation, that's difficult for anybody to get done, whether it's a Republican or Democrat. I always say, people think, well, you're in the majority, you can get your bills passed. You also have the Senate and you also have the governor. So it takes a lot of people to sign on to those bills. Obviously, it's harder for us, but that doesn't mean we can't do it. And also we have the bully pulpit. And certainly I think we can make a difference with the bully pulpit. I think we're doing it now with bail reform. Bringing to light a lot of those issues, and we've been pushing that. We're looking for a full repeal of bail reform. But I think if we weren't there, beating that drum, you might not hear as much about it, and there won't be as much pressure on the speaker, as much pressure on the majority leader, and as pressure on the governor.
Well, apparently the speaker, now that you've introduced bail reform, is the problem on this thing. I couldn't agree more with you. I think you have to protect the people. I don't agree with you that you should do away with bail reform altogether, but I certainly think you have to give judges the power to take a look at a situation and to say, this guy is dangerous. We got to do something here.
Completely agree. And we're not, sometimes I feel like we get labeled as a party or no. We're not against everything. I agree. I just think we have to repeal it now. We're willing to go back and look at it, but there's a real public safety issue out there. And the longer we don't address it, then, there's more problems with actual violent felons, alleged felons, being let out on the street. So that's why I say repeal it now. But just because I say repeal it now doesn't mean we can't go back and revisit, whether it's judges' discretion, providing more money to district attorneys, putting a dangerous clause in there if the person's dangerous or violent. Those are all things we're willing to look at. Clearly, there was a problem with the system. They point to the situation in Rikers Island, and we're open to amending it. But obviously, I think there was overreach. I think it went way too far, and I think we're having a real public safety crisis as a result.
Well, the old Pete Seeger song is, if you're black, get back. We do know that there are disproportionate numbers of black people in our prisons compared to their overall presence in the population. So what could we do to reform things so that people who were disproportionately in prison had a better break?
Well, first of all, I think generally you got to look at the case-by-case basis. The crimes are being committed. They're actually being committed at a higher rate in, unfortunately, minority communities. But that's being said, I'm open to ideas. We're not against that. Maybe there is some sort of racial disparity in incarceration. But let's not just throw out the baby in the bathwater. You know, I think we got to be very careful and do it. The other thing I would like to point out, you know, is although a lot of these crimes are being committed by minorities, they're also the victims of these crimes happen to be minorities, too. So,
absolutely.
And, you know, I think our conference and myself often want to say we're here to help the victim, not necessarily the criminal. And, you know, it gets pushed back and people say, well, you know, the rich can afford bail. Why should they have that advantage? Maybe we have to go back and look if the rich are dangerous and they're being let out, just like you could say someone not as wealthy. Then maybe we ought to look at that, and that should be amended, too. I'm open to that.
So we have the potential here for Willie Hortonism.
Yeah.
You know, Willie Horton got out, then he committed a crime again. Every time that's going to happen now, the Democrats who are arguing to keep this thing are going to be in some trouble.
I suspect that there will be changes, but I think they're trying to stall to put in the budget to provide cover maybe for some of their more liberal members from New York City so they can vote for the budget and have this reform in there. My concern is that's a little ways off. And again, every day we see a story about here in Albany where a guy was strangling his girlfriend. They had a 6-month-old child in her arms, arrested. Fortunately, she was, you know, survived. And then 3 hours later was back at the house, was rearrested for violating an order of protection. But that's the type of situation where I think a judge has to have discretion. Obviously, this is a dangerous situation. You know, so much for helping the domestic violence victims here. So, again, we'd like our conference, myself personally, let's just pull it back now. Let's do that. And then we can revisit it in the budget. If there's things that we want to do in the budget, do it or do it as a standalone bill. We're open to that.
Okay, so tell us how you got here. There was an unfortunate incident. We used to talk to your predecessor. And so how did you get here and was it an appropriate move?
So obviously I didn't anticipate what the circumstance that happened with Brian Cole. He had that unfortunate DWI incident over New Year's. Once he made the decision that he couldn't effectively lead the conference before...
Did he get pushed?
No, he didn't get pushed. In fact, he made the decision on his own. I think he made it relatively fast. You know, I think if he tried to hold on for longer, maybe there would have been some questioning if he could be effective in doing it. But Brian, to his credit, built up a lot of goodwill. I was close to him. I consider him not only a friend, but a political ally. And I would have been straight with him if it came to a situation where we thought he could no longer continue on as leader. But to his credit, he made the decision to get out himself.
Was he a mentor to you, and was he responsible for your accession?
No. He wasn't, I would say, mentor, but friend. Yeah. He was in the legislature maybe 2 years before, so fought a lot of battles over the years, so he was a real friend. He did indicate to me that he was getting out. He asked me not to do anything maybe 2 hours before he did it, so I didn't have a lot of notice. So I didn't do anything until he actually publicly said he was getting out. And then once he did that, I did start making calls to our members. The first people I called were other people that might be interested in the position. And I told them, you know, I understand you could possibly are interested in becoming leader, but I'm going to make calls to the members. And I was really honored the response I got back. You don't know, you know, until you start making those calls, what kind of support you have. And it turned out I had strong support, and I'm very honored and thankful for the faith that the other members of our conference have placed in me to be their leader.
Is Trump going to be a drag on Republicans in this state in the forthcoming elections?
I don't know. It's a long ways away. I think, in my mind, if the economy keeps doing as well as it is doing, I don't think he'll be a drag. But anything can change from here to there. Obviously, Trump is not popular in New York, but we're Republicans. We run in a lot of Republican districts. I know in my district, Trump is overwhelmingly popular. So I think, you know, where we're trying to pick up more marginal seats or Democratic seats, you know, that might be more of an issue. But for a lot of our members, Trump's very popular.
So let me ask you about marijuana. The governor first told me he didn't want it. And then he changed his tune when it came to his primary against the more liberal person and the rest of it. But somehow it ain't getting done. First of all, your position. Second of all, what do you think's going to happen?
So I just think it's a little odd that we're legalizing marijuana when we're really focusing on, obviously, getting people smoking less and the vaping crisis. It seems like this is the opposite direction there, where we're trying to now legalize marijuana, which obviously has significant health risk along with it. I personally am opposed to legalizing marijuana.
Did you ever smoke?
Have I ever smoked marijuana?
Yeah.
I have smoked. I've been to Amsterdam. You're going to ask me that? I've been to Amsterdam, so I smoked it legally. How about that? But not in the United States. In any event.
We have an Amsterdam here, too. I was a little confused.
Yeah, Amsterdam, Europe, Amsterdam, right? Not New York. So I'm not sure where our conference is. We haven't had a conversation. I suspect we probably have some members that support legalization. I think we probably have a majority that probably are against legalization, but we haven't conferenced that issue.
So what do you make of the governor who now says he wants it, but first he wants agreement on Connecticut, New Jersey, and here? It seems a little bit
kicking the can or not making a decision. I think there's probably part of it. It is a complex issue. The one thing I don't think we ought to be doing is legalizing marijuana for revenue purposes. You know, I think this problem of sin tax or trying to raise revenue off sin is not a good idea. I think we ought to push. And I'm against legalization. I don't think we should be encouraging people to undertake, obviously, dangerous health things in order to raise revenue in New York State. So that's one concern I have. But, you know, how it's going to be, the revenue from that's going to be allocated across the state, I don't know. The other thing is, you know, are we going to clean everybody's criminal records, you know, for past marijuana convictions? So I think there are a lot
of
issues.
What's the danger in that, if you do that?
Well, at one point, I guess there maybe isn't a danger. The problem is it was illegal at one time. You broke the law. You know, maybe that's one of many charges you had or convictions you had. It gives a fuller picture maybe of the person. But, it, you know, again, I'm not saying that that can't be done, be open. But those are issues that I think have to be considered and thought out by the legislature. It's not just saying all of a sudden, let's legalize marijuana. Great going forward. There's, you know, past histories there.
Based on what happened with your predecessor, who had just written a column in the paper about not driving drunk, he did. Is there anything we can do? Because it's a terrible scourge on New York lives and everything else. Is there anything we can do about drinking and driving?
More so than what we're doing? I mean, I think we have, obviously, the penalties out there. I think awareness is half the battle. You know, interesting, I'm 51 years old.
Child.
Yeah, thanks. I don't feel that way anymore. But when I was growing up, you know, there was a little bit of awareness about drunken driving, but nowhere near the type of awareness. And my kids, I have an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old, or sorry, 17 and 19-year-old boys. They are, you know, completely aware of it. I think the idea of having, you know, Uber and those types of services helps a lot. So I think, one, we just have to keep pushing back and making people aware that this is really dangerous and don't drive drunk. There's no excuse for it.
Speaking as a resident of Great Barrington, Massachusetts, which I am, I want to thank you and the rest of the legislature for taking your time on marijuana, because we're making a great deal of money. I passed the marijuana place in Great Barrington, and the New York cars are backed up down the road. Absolutely.
So how is Massachusetts experiment with marijuana?
There doesn't seem to be a problem.
It's not a problem.
No, there doesn't seem to be a problem. Of course, the big problem is, how do you prove somebody was under the influence? You can do that easily with drunk driving, but you can't do it with marijuana.
I've asked a lot of prosecutors that's another great issue, how you're going to try to solve that. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe I have to look at other states and what they're doing in other states. I know there is some sort of protocol for testing for people with marijuana. The other thing, it's expensive. I think you have to have training. You have to have new law enforcement people involved. So we'd want to make sure that's funded.
Sure. Right now, troopers can go before a judge and say, I smelled marijuana.
Right.
Tell me about the governor. Is this a difficult thing for you as a Republican in blue state New York? And how do you ride herd on a guy like that? He's, as you know, you heard the state of the state, you heard the budget address.
Yeah. Well, again, we push back where we see policy that we disagree with. We're being very loud about what we disagree with the governor. You know, a couple things. You know, they keep talking about the progress New York State's made, and we may have made some progress in the state. But I point out our taxes still lead the nation, whether it's property tax, sales tax, income tax. You know, we're in the top 1, 2, 3 in the nation.
So how do you handle that?
We have outward migration. We have, you know, 1.2 million people left in the last decade, 77,000 people left. So we are pushing, saying things aren't great. We have these challenges that have to be addressed. The cost of doing business in New York State is too high. So you know, when the governor makes his address, talks about a $6 billion shortfall, talking about all the great things we're going to spend money on and do going forward, we try to push back and say, we can't continue. This is not a system that's sustainable. We can't keep losing population to lower cost states.
Okay. Yep. Give me a solution. Will.
Solution? How yeah. about cutting spending or stop the growth of spending?
What do you want?
We could do 100 economic development. How about economic development programs?
Do you think
we spent $1 billion in Buffalo, and I haven't seen a lot of benefit as a result of
me
that.
Me neither.
How about the film tax credit? Why are we giving benefits to big corporations from California for actors who, in my mind, seem to be pretty well off already?
But we got a $6 billion shortfall here. I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
Right.
He's apparently going to take it out on the counties and say, we're giving you too much Medicaid money. What do you do?
We're wholly against that, obviously. Again, we put that cap in place 10 years ago to try to protect the property taxpayers. So any pushback down, particularly like Medicaid, a program that really the counties don't have a lot of discretion. It's a mandate on the counties. They got to run it. They have to provide the services yep. that the state do. But take Medicaid. We have something like 29 add-on programs on Medicaid. It's probably one of the most generous Medicaid programs in the nation,
right.
which is great. But for instance, for us upstate, where we don't have a lot of property tax base, maybe we decide we don't want to do those 29 add-ons. Maybe drop a few. You know, these aren't going to be easy decisions. It's very hard to take away something the state's already given. But clearly, in a $178 billion budget, it's hard for me not to think that we can't trim here a little bit or slow the growth, frankly, which is not. So we're not even cutting. It's just basically slowing the amount of growth in the budget.
Now, I see that Governor Cuomo has appointed yet another commission to study how this all should be paid for. Aren't you a little sick of commissions? You
Medicaid
know, that's why you're
redesign team two, I guess.
That's why you're there.
2.0. Yeah, I am. You know, we have been pushing a lot of things off to non-elected people. We did, obviously, a big issue last year was doing the outside income. And why don't we make the decision? We're elected to make tough decisions. I agree. We ought to be the ones.
And on that subject, you know, should now that you've raised it, should legislators get that raise without agreeing not to do outside work?
I happen to believe ideologically, I'm an attorney, so I happen to believe we shouldn't have a full-time legislature. I think if you ask that question that way to the public and saying, should we have professional politicians that are full-time in Albany, I think most people would say no. Obviously, we don't. We have to support ourselves some way. I don't think there's necessarily a conflict as long as outside income is disclosed. And I think by having people, it brings a diversity to the legislature that you might not otherwise get. It's maybe not as diverse as it could be, but so I believe the founders thought we ought to be part-time. And frankly, I think by making it full-time, you're going to get people here all year round. And being a guy that's for smaller government, less government intrusion, I don't think that's a good thing.
So the green light law, let's talk about that for a little while. You know, basically giving undocumented immigrants driver's licenses. How do you feel about that?
Well, we're, I think, unanimously opposed to it in our conference. We think there's some real serious issues with providing documentation. You're seeing now with the automatic registration. I don't know if you saw that bill that just passed the Senate, where there's no criminal penalties. This is so if you go and interact with a state agency, they'll register you to vote.
Right.
Presumably, there's no penalties. They took out any penalties for anybody like an illegal alien if they end up voting, as long as they didn't do it on purpose. But it's hard to say that, you know, how are you going to judge whether someone did it on purpose or not? So, you know, we have some real, I think there's real security issues by providing identification. I talked to a congressman the other day that said New York State might, you know, we have the enhanced driver's license that works nationally.
Canada.
They may pull that back as a result of that and not be accepted anymore. So I think there's a lot of issues surrounding driver's license. Again, I think it was another policy that was maybe an overreach by the majorities and the governor, and the consequences of that overreach, I think we're just starting to feel.
How's Nick Langworthy doing as your new chair of the Republican Party?
I think he's doing great. He's out on the road. He's a very vocal person. He's willing to be out there and push back at some of these, we think, ill-advised policies and laws that are being pushed by the majority. So I've known Nick a long time. I think he's doing a great job.
Speaking of which, Why are there so many Republican senators who are deserting the ship now that they've lost control of the House, of the Senate?
Well, it is a different time over there. I'm not convinced everybody that's getting out is getting out just because of the change in control. They've right. had some...
Well, one guy's got cancer over here today.
Seward. Yeah, and he's a great guy. He said he wasn't getting out because of the minority. Some may, but, you know, I think, again, they had a lot of built-up seniority and people there a long time, so it's not surprising to see that. We even see it on our side. We went through a similar thing probably, as I mentioned, about 6 or 8 years ago, where a lot of our members decided to retire. So it's a cycle, but no doubt the political dynamics have changed in the Senate, and maybe being a minority might have, you know, impacted someone's decision-making when they resign, whether running.
When are we going to see the next redesign of our districts? I know that has to be done every 10 years, and you can be sure that Speaker Hastie is having his computer's all warmed up right now in order to screw you guys to the wall.
Well, you know, we have a commission now. It's, you know, I always say it's very tough to take politics out of a political body.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what you do, politics is going to play a role. And we've unfortunately been on the losing end of that role for a lot of time. But maybe with this commission, I do have appointees to it. It'll be a little less political, and we can look at it in more fair way, where it's not what they call, as you know, Massachusetts gerrymandering for one party's advantage versus another party.
But if you think about it, Will, it's fascinating because there are so many more Democrats than Republicans in New York State. So even if you do it fairly, you guys are in bad
right.
shape.
One of the positions I had before I became leader, I was a Republican Assembly campaign chairman. And I also, people always come, you know, how come you guys are underperforming? How come you're always underperforming? I point out we're not. We're just a very blue state. In fact, we have only one Democrat sitting in a Republican majority seat, where we have 8 members, Republican members, sitting in a Democratic majority seat. So I think you could say we're actually outperforming. But it does make it very hard in New York. Obviously, a city, those registrations down there, you know, you can arrest a member down there. They get thrown out of office, but it's very hard for a Republican when there's 90% Democratic registration.
You know, I got into trouble with Speaker Hastie a little bit because I thought it was humorously. I referred to him as Boss Hastie because he was boss of the Bronx, and then he moved down up to be boss of the Assembly. But what's he like to work with?
I like him. We came in, I think he came in just a little bit before me, so I've known him almost my whole career in the Assembly. We were on the 5th floor, the LOB, together, so I got to know him a little bit. He's a, I would say, compared to his predecessor, he's a much more gregarious, outgoing guy. I've told him, you know, I want to have a professional relationship with him, have, you know, be very friendly. But again, I'm not going to shy away from, you know, from policy that we think is wrong.
But if you want a desk, if you want a desk in your office, you still have to go to him, don't you?
It's not quite that bad, no.
But, yeah. But you mentioned Shelley Silver, who has now been, you know, waiting to go to prison for a number of years. You think that's right?
Well, the criminal justice system has to play out. It does seem odd that he's been convicted, appealed, convicted again, right? And now still out on appeal. It seems, geez, if this doesn't go through, he probably could have served his sentence by now. What he did was a betrayal of the public trust, I believe, and he ought to be paying the consequences for it. But, you know, I don't want to get into the details of what his case is and why he's not in jail now. I guess I don't know enough about it to really opine.
So how do you protect yourself? I mean, when somebody comes into my office and they start talking about doing things for us and the rest of it, I worry about it. You know, I always want somebody else sitting there. How do you protect yourself? You're both an attorney. And you're, you know, a legislator. But clearly, you have to really watch yourself. Otherwise, you're on the short end of the stick.
Yeah, I do worry about that. I think every legislator worries about it. But, you know, when I try to do what's best for my district, what's best, I think, for New York State. And by following that, I'm not too worried. I do worry that sometimes politics can be used as a, you know, they try to use prosecution as a political tool. And that always concerns me. But, you know, my intent, and I think hopefully most legislators' intent, is to do what's best for their constituents, what's best for New York State. We may not agree on that, but so that's just a rule of thumb I follow, and I don't think I'm going to be in any problem as a result of following that rule.
Well, Will Barkley, you know, all it takes is one little mistake. That's what you,
thanks. Great.
Well, I worry about it. I think everybody should worry about it. So Cuomo is pushing for elected officials making more than $100K to release their tax returns. What do you think about such a thing?
I think it's more of a political type ploy versus really something that needs to be done in New York State. It can be discussed. Disclose it. I have to disclose where the money's coming from. So I don't have any problem with disclosure. I always think disclosure is the best method. What did the judge say? Sunshine is the best disinfectant. So yes. I don't know what more providing my tax returns would provide the public. I think he's doing it to try to contrast with Trump not doing it. So he's just trying to make a political point.
Well, should Trump do it?
Should he disclose his
tax returns?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we had a big debate about that last year when the state tried to do it. I think it should be handled on the federal level. I'm not sure it should be handled on the state level. But, the voters, this is now how long has he been president? 3 years?
Yeah.
And they apparently aren't that concerned about it. And he potentially could get reelected. Would I like to know? Yeah, I think, again, disclosure is nothing wrong with disclosure. I think I don't want to get into the details about Trump. It's a little out of my jurisdiction.
You're a Republican.
I am a Republican.
You've got to live with it.
Yeah, you're right. But are they going to use it again as a political weapon versus are they really concerned about, what's in his tax returns?
It's interesting. It's just fascinating. Yeah. So Speaker Hasty, as you probably know, has called for taxing the rich. What do you think about that one?
Well, that's a softball for me, Alan. I think, to a person in our conference, don't think raising more revenue is what's necessary in New York State. We don't have a revenue problem. As you may have heard, the projections came back. We're $1.6 billion more revenue last quarter than what was anticipated.
Wow.
Revenue's coming in the state just fine. It's really the spending problem. And we'll keep doing this. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we have the highest property taxes, highest sales tax, highest income tax, highest assessments on, health insurance. You can go right through the litany of things. And it's not because we're not taxing too much that we're in this budget problem.
Well, the new minority leader in the assembly, William Barclay, has been with us, and it is so great to have you. You're a nice guy, and it's wonderful to see a smiling face on a politician.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's been a real honor.